So my goals today are a little bit different to what they might normally be. I'm not here to help us understand a particular passage from the Bible and how it applies, although that may be a result. I'm not really here to speak with authority on how the church should do things. I'm here today not as a pastor, but simply as a human with an experience of life and faith. And I'm here to show you my story of how the ideas that I have come to hold dear have been formed. So it's my hope today that in presenting part of my story, that perhaps there will be some perspectives here that may be of some use to you as we all navigate this thing called life together. So I grew up in a Christian home. The eldest of four kids in my dad's second marriage. I have an older half-sister from his first marriage. Of the five kids, I'm the only one who was born out of wedlock. I was born about 4 months before my parents got married. Mum and Dad have always been low-income earners. Neither of them went to uni or anything like that. Dad has a learning disability, which has meant it's difficult for him to find work, although I think the world has been pretty harsh on him in that regard. I think he's a lot more capable than a lot of people have categorised him as. Mum was the main breadwinner, therefore, for most of my childhood. I was born in Katoomba, but we moved around a lot. Each of my siblings, in fact, was born in a different place. And more than a few times, we were renting and had the house that we were in sold out from under us. So that was one reason that we moved around so much. I distinctly remember when I was little, Mum would read a children's Bible to me every night before going to bed. In fact, I'm fairly certain that was the exact one. I don't know how this came up, but there's a very specific memory I have of her telling me one night that some silly people think God took a long time to create the world, but the Bible says it was actually only 6 days. When I was around 8 years old, my family moved from Morisset on the Central Coast all the way down to Tasmania. My grandmother apparently predicted that within a year we would be back because Mum and Dad would hate it down there. But within 6 months, Grandma and Grandpa had joined us in Tasmania. And this is where the nurturing of my own faith by a church really began, according to my memory of things. And that church was Hobart Baptist Church, which earlier this year, Kyra and I left to move here. And to try to capture something of what Hobart Baptist meant to me, I figured I'd read you a little bit of what I said to them at my final service there earlier this year. And this still boggles my mind, but weirdly enough, Mitch and Beck Salmon were there that day to hear me say this. Just insane. So this is part of what I said. It was 16 years ago that my family found sanctuary in this church. I was 8 years old. When we found Hobart Baptist, we had moved down from New South Wales only 2 months earlier. 16 years is just about two-thirds of my life. There is nothing I could say right now to adequately express the feelings I have for this family of people and equally the feelings I have at leaving. The amount of change that has happened to me in that 16 years is staggering to me to try and comprehend. A sanctuary welcomes everybody as they are, and almost paradoxically, that inevitably changes people profoundly. This church accepted the shy, displaced young boy that was me after we moved to Hobart. This church accepted the loud, obnoxious, enthusiastic teenager that was me as well. This church accepted the young adult who still had much more growth yet to occur. And even more than that, this church was willing to experiment by eventually letting me become very active as an intern, as a learner, learning the ropes of ministry. I look back in awe that after a 3-year internship, Hobart Baptist Church even decided to bring me on staff in an official capacity. The confidence this church has placed in me over the years, and many times even in spite of me, is overwhelming. It was within Hobart Baptist Church that I even met my wife, and it's appropriate that she too found sanctuary here after a distressing move of her own. As if that were not enough, Hobart Baptist has been the foundry in which my most precious friendships have been forged. There are people sitting here today, or there were when I said this, whom I have no doubt I would cherish and hold unspeakably dear to my heart for the rest of my days. It's still true of you guys. I could never have the time to try and adequately describe the depth and richness of the connections that I have forged at Hobart Baptist Church. I was in Sunday school plays here. My first experiences of public speaking were here. I was baptized in the very pool behind me as a teenager. I grew as a believer in the context of an intimate youth group, again as part of this church. It was in this church that somebody pulled me out and said, "I noticed something in you that I would like to nurture." And it was in this church that I have had my very first experiences of what it means to cooperate with God in his effort to reach out to people he loves. I went on to thank a list of people by name, and it was a very long list of people who, in one way or another, had invested their time, their passion, or in some cases, their very soul into my development. I do have a fairly broad experience of church, though. I have attended just about every major denomination in church at least once or twice. My family was attending a local Reformed church when I was about 16, so we were attending two churches for a while, and I became part of the youth group there for a while. And when I was 18, I attended a Pentecostal church for 6 months while I was living away from home to study. And it was after that that I started my internship. So really, since then, it's fair to say that I've never actually chosen a particular church. Rather, they have chosen me. Some of the warmest memories I have of Hobart Baptist Church, though, are centered around a home group that I accidentally planted while I was there. I had been encouraged to see what I could do for our young adults community, and having moved out of home and soon to be marrying Kaya, we started a small group meeting in the North Hobart apartment that I was living in. And over 18 months, that small group grew to around 20 people, cramming into our tiny lounge room and kitchen, simply sharing the journey of life and faith together on a weekly basis. And throughout the growth of that home church, I think some very important things started to be affirmed inside me. My generation has some strong desires about church, and we are jaded by the disappointing shadow we see all too often of what church and true spirituality we feel could be. You probably can't read the text in that Facebook post, but it's just a girl from the group expressing on her public Facebook timeline just how meaningful that group of people had become to her. We had people as part of Refuge who had grown up in the church and people who hadn't. We had people who were comfortable calling themselves Christians and people who really, really weren't. We had a few people either have their first or their most tangible experiences of God up till that point. I remember when my family was part of that Reformed church for a while, they had this book in all the pews. They did have the Bible, but that's not the one that I'm talking about. They had another one. And it was a book of Reformed systematic theology. And literally, it just went through a whole heap of doctrines on what this church believes. Many of you probably know the sort of book that I'm talking about. Well, I can tell you right now that that sort of book wouldn't have worked at Refuge. If you had named any given Christian idea, you'd be guaranteed to get as many distinct opinions on it as there were people. And I imagine that's probably fairly true of this church as well. I couldn't have named this at the time, but part of what Refuge really taught me, and I think taught everyone who was part of it, was that people come first. And theology has to be informed by the personal experience of the person. It cannot be divorced from it. like sadly many churches in the past and still today try to do. We have to be able to have and share experiences that challenge our existing theology. We have to, because how else are we to grow as spiritual beings? As I'm soon to get back to, I've found that an intellectual understanding of the Bible alone, as helpful as that can be, is not the full picture of what we need as Christians. In fact, it's not even close. Over that 18 months, Refuge began to embody some of the things that we wished the broader church could experience more often. Things like existing in true relationship to one another, where we really knew what life was like for one another. Things like eating together. Things like opening the Bible together and not being dictated to, but rather marveling together at what it could possibly mean. Things like being open to the more tangible movements of the Holy Spirit. Being part of a community where our theology could be shaped by our direct experience of God and the spiritual realm, and not just by the prevailing theological theories of these things. And man, oh man, did we have some spiritual experiences to learn from. That's a whole other story. But I'll move on now to sort of the second part of what I'm here to say this morning. And these are some things that, in humility, I want to put to you to raise some questions. And hopefully I've revealed enough about my story to help these things make a bit more sense. One of the textbooks from Bible College had an introduction that I still remember to this day. The subject was church history. And in spite of my enjoyment of the material, I actually almost failed that subject, which became actually quite a common pattern, it turned out. The more I seemed to enjoy a topic, the more the closer I came to failing it, it seemed like. But that's another story. The textbook was, as on the screen, Shelley's Church History in Plain Language. And Shelley frames his entire book with what I found to be some very helpful concepts. He talks about four major schools of thought in Judaism at the time of Jesus' ministry. And those four are that of the Sadducees, that of the Pharisees, that of the Ascetics, and that of the Zealots. Just so you know, this image is not representative of those four. It's actually an image from Avatar, The Last Airbender, if any of you are familiar with that kids' show. It's a show I'm very fond of. But actually, the philosophies of the four groups that I've just mentioned happen to mesh really well with the four nations on that TV show. So any of you who are familiar with that, I hope that's helpful. The iron grip of Rome over the nation of Israel resulted in four very different responses from these Jewish schools of thought. The Sadducees' approach, much like a waterbender, was to roll with it, to use Rome's power for their own benefit. The Sadducees, as a result, ended up among Jerusalem's wealthy elite. The approach of the Pharisees was quite different. They immersed themselves in the scriptures, determined to hold on to the remnants of Jewish culture and custom, much like an earthbender becoming unshakable. The Pharisees were the hardline conservatives of their time, essentially. And then there were the ascetics. And the response that this group had to the Roman Empire was basically to flee, much like the air nomads in the TV show, to isolate themselves from Rome and Israel altogether, to establish small, intimate communities on the outskirts of civilization and dedicate themselves to the living out of Jewish values in pursuit of the simple life. And the ascetics, incidentally, are the ones that we have to thank for the copies of the ancient scriptural manuscripts that exist today. So the Dead Sea Scrolls and the other ancient original texts that have been found, they were copied by the ascetics. Finally, there were the Zealots, firebenders. This group's response to the Roman Empire was to fight fire with fire, to, wherever possible, frustrate the spread of Roman dominion over Israel and